So we come together for our last formal weekend, I'll say that, of this series called Life's Big Questions. Next weekend, we will have one more weekend of this, but I'll be answering the questions that you've actually turned into me over these last few weeks and trying to work through those questions. Very good questions, by the way, and I will answer those next week. We'll just go one question at a time, and I'll just give you answers to those as we go. But today, we're going to continue with the sort of big questions, the seven big questions that we had that we've been talking through, and we're going to talk today about the idea of a personal relationship with God. But as we get started, I think it's important for you to know why this is such a big question. And one of the reasons is because I've struggled with this myself. You know, I think that as we live our lives, it's easy to get to the place where, you know, maybe we just go to God and pray to Him when we need something, right? And we expect Him to answer us there. And if He doesn't answer the prayer exactly how we want Him to answer it, well, then we feel like maybe God's not with me or I don't have a personal relationship with Him. You know, and this whole idea of a personal relationship with God or with Jesus is something that you hear a lot about today. And what I've struggled with about this is that when we talk about a personal relationship with Jesus, it becomes this thing that it's different for each one of us. You know, you talk to one person and they say, well, this is the personal relationship I have with Jesus. Talk to another and they say, well, this is the relationship I have with God. And it becomes something that's very individualistic, and it's almost a relationship that suits the person and what they're looking for. Instead of truly looking at God's word that is unchanging and hearing about the relationship that we are given to God that is there in Scripture that clearly articulates what this relationship is all about. See, as I've struggled with this, I've realized that there are too many people that define their faith sort of in this postmodern age of sort of this let's agree to disagree type of idea. That many of us, as we look at God and we look at who He is and we look at what He says in His Word, that we tend to take the things we like and say, yeah, that's great, but the things we don't like, what do we tend to do? Push those aside and say, well, that's not the God that I follow. That's not the God that I believe in. So given in my experience, I'm thinking that there's probably too many people that live their lives that way. They want a personal relationship with God and say, yes, this personal relationship is something I desire and I want, but it's influenced by the world, it's influenced by the flesh, it's influenced by all of the things that are around us in this world. And speaking from experience, sometimes it can take us to a place that is very hard and dark. Because if it's not what we expect, we feel like God is not with us. Can anybody relate to that at all? Yeah. See, it's all done with good intentions. All of this is done with a good heart, wanting to establish this. And so today, as we look at this and we talk about, can I know God personally? The answer is yes. But we want to talk about what that truly means. And today, as we are celebrating the Trinity as well, this is Trinity Sunday, the official Sunday in the church year, where we talk about the Trinity. And today is where we actually say, when we say, do you know God? Can I have a personal relationship with God? We are talking about this God right here. God that is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is God who is all three at one time. We're not just talking about a personal relationship with Jesus, because if you have a personal relationship with Jesus, guess what? You have a relationship with Father and the Son as well, because where Jesus is the full Godhead. And so what we're talking about when we say, can you have a personal relationship with God? Can you know Him personally? The answer is yes. Because when you know the Son, you know the full God. You know everyone. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is a tough thing for us to understand, right? The Trinity. As we look at it, we know that the Father is not the Son, the Father is not the Spirit, and the Son and the Spirit are not each other, but yet God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three. And Jesus, it says in scriptures, was he possessed the full Godhead. Everything about God was within Jesus. And so if you walk away with anything right now, what I want you to walk away with an understanding of is that when we say a personal relationship with God, we are talking about a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You can't separate them. It's all the same. Does that make sense? Yes? Good. So let's get to this question of, can I know God personally? The question I have for you are you in a relationship with Jesus, or are we talking about having fellowship with God? Because I think there's a difference there. We hear much these days about people saying that they have a personal relationship with Jesus. And while this concept is not necessarily bad, I don't know that it's fully biblical. Fellowship, on the other hand, is biblical. It's a biblical concept of something that you can believe in God, the Father as well, and know the Son, Jesus. Now, why would I say this, and why would I sort of shock some of you by saying this? It's because the word relationship is actually not in the Bible very much at all. It's not in the King James Version. It's not in the New King James Version. It's not in the Young's Literal Translation. It's not in the American Standard Version. It's not in the English Standard Version. It's used once in reference to a sexual relationship in the New American Standard Version. And it's used a couple of times in the New International Version, but not in reference to our relationship with Jesus Christ. On the other hand, if you look up the word fellowship, you will find it being used in abundance throughout all of these translations and throughout the original language. So what's the difference between these two words? And why are we talking about this so much? It's because I want to make sure that we focus our attention on things that are biblical. When we talk about a relationship, that we have a relationship with God, that tends to put the onus on us. That it's a focus on us and what we do. And that seems to be very appealing to people because they want to make sure that it's a faith that is owned by them. But yet we have to establish that this is not how the Bible speaks. I mean, the usual answer is that you can gain a better relationship by if you just study the Bible more, or you attend church more, or you go to uplifting worship where the music actually fills you with an emotion and suddenly you feel closer to God, or you listen to Christian music in your car as you drive, or you do everything else and surround yourself with everything Christian, and then you will have a relationship with God. But where is the focus in all of that? It's on what we're doing. While these things aren't bad, it's not exactly what Scripture talks about. See, you and I, we are by nature sinners, spiritually blind, dead, and an enemy to God. That's what Scripture says, Ephesians chapter 2. And we cannot do any choice or make anything or do anything on ourselves that is acceptable to God and to establish a relationship with Him at all. Now, fellowship, on the other hand, is a biblical concept in which we sinners who are out of fellowship with God and under the wrath of God and His condemnation as well, because we've broken the commandments, are brought into fellowship with God the Father through faith in His Son and the atoning sacrifice that He made for us on the cross and for the sins of the whole world. See, that's fellowship with God. It is an act that was done by God the Father and God the Son and has nothing to do with our actions at all. What Christians who live and die by this is that they really understand who Jesus truly is. That all that we really need is Jesus. All that we really need to focus on is we need the Lord's Word and the sacraments that we receive right here. This is what we need, as well as the Christian church and the office of holy ministry that proclaims his word. See, it's there that we receive forgiveness of sins. It's there that we're strengthened in the faith. And the problem is this. The Lord actually says that those things that we just talked about, those things are supposed to be important to the believer's life. Whether they think so or not, the word and the sacraments, those are the spiritual gifts that he gives us, that he uses for our benefit in this world. It is Christ's church and his servants who were created to deliver those spiritual gifts to us on a regular basis so that we can know that we are in fellowship with God. And by rejecting all of that, we're actually saying that we're really not in fellowship with God. See, in sort of a layman's term, personally, relationship with Jesus Christ may be popular in terms of how we phrase things today, but that's not what the scriptures say. It's fellowship with God that we celebrate. It's fellowship with God that he has given to us, and it is all his action and not ours. Colossians chapter 1 says this, "And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh his death, in order to present you holy and blameless above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." This is talking about the fact that it is Jesus who has come to us. It is God that has created this situation from us. Those that we have heard from the beginning, he says, that we have seen with our eyes, that is where we know we have fellowship with God. It is in those places that we truly know that Jesus has called us and created us to be blameless in God's eyes. It is all God's action and not ours. 1 John chapter 1 says this, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we look upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we have made him a liar and his word is not in us. He is the propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, but also for the sin of the world." I mean, this gets to the point truly of understanding that it is all about what Jesus has done for us. And that God ultimately desires that we have fellowship or koinonia with him. But the only way that we sinners can have fellowship with the just and holy God is by acknowledging and confessing our sins against his holy law and looking to Christ Jesus, the righteous one, and his propitiation, or you might say atoning sacrifice on the cross, for our sins and the sin of the whole world. See, that is what fellowship means. Truly knowing that Jesus is the one who came to establish the fellowship with us, that we were alienated from God, and he is the one who established it for us. He is the one who gives us that relationship. He's the one who makes it right for us. And that we were brought into the faith in Jesus Christ through hearing God's word and through the continued faith as well that we are given each and every day. The faith that is given to us by the Spirit who is working in us through the Word and the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion. That we are in God, yes, and that we have this God-given fellowship with God the Father and his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and also with all the true believers that are in this world. Hallelujah is right. I mean, because that means that it is not about the things that you and I do. It's all about what God has done for us. That I can't establish or maintain a relationship with Jesus or with God because I am still sinful. And even my best efforts to establish a relationship with him comes far short of making me acceptable to God. That I am only fooling myself if I think that my efforts can please him in any way. And we read these words from Galatians chapter 4. And I ask you to read this with me today. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. How does adoption work? My daughter Maya did not establish a relationship with me. When we adopted her, it was all our action in terms of claiming her to be my daughter. It was my action who established the relationship with her. It was our action that continued to keep that relationship as she grew. See, adoption is a great act that God has done for each of us. He has adopted us into his family. He has accepted us as sons and daughters because of the work of Jesus Christ and what he has done. And it continues to be the work that God the Father does for us through the Holy Spirit working in us that keeps us in fellowship with him throughout all of our lives. Colossians chapter 1 says this, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." See, it again tells us that this is something that is established by God and kept by him, and that it is the Spirit that keeps us in the faith. And it is because of his actions that we have fellowship with God at all. And today, God keeps me in that fellowship. He keeps you in that fellowship as well by preserving our faith through the hearing of the word and through the promises of baptism and the Lord's Supper. That this is truly how the Spirit works in our lives to continue us in fellowship with God. And it continues us in this relationship that is all about what God has done and not about what I do. See, Philippians chapter 1 says this, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion of the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." This says that he is the one who has begun this work in us. Jesus is the one in the Spirit has begun this work in you and I, and he is the one that will bring it to completion, not me, not you. He's the one that will see it through. God in the Spirit is the one that will work in us to see it through. It is not about our actions and us striving to make things right or to establish a relationship with him. And so the question, can I establish a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by my decisions and my choices and my life and my works? Well, the answer to that question is a simple no. I can't. But God has graciously chosen and called me to trust in his Son. He has brought me to know and to trust in Christ Jesus. And he has brought me into fellowship with him and his holy church. And he has made me understand and believe that right here in his body and blood, we have the ultimate relationship with Jesus. Again, it's not about me. It's all about Jesus. See, Martin Luther said this, "Therefore, we ought and must constantly maintain this point, that God does not wish to deal with us other than through the spoken word and the sacraments. It is the devil himself whosoever is extolled as spirit without the word and the sacraments." See, God does not come to us separately away from his word and the sacraments itself. If we are looking for some emotional thing that's going to make a sense that God is in our lives, that's not how God works. He doesn't work through emotions. Because the problem is of that is suddenly if you don't have that emotion, what do you begin to believe? That Jesus is not there. Or that I don't have a relationship with God. See, we have to understand that this is a relationship that is established by God and preserved by the Spirit. And this relationship, this fellowship we have with God is something that is continued to be sustained through the hearing of His Word, through the reading of His Word, through the receiving of the sacrament. That's why we do it at least twice a month here at Our Savior's. Because it's important for us to establish that relationship and be reminded of what God is doing for us. See, ultimately, He saved us not because of the righteous things that we do or have done, but because of His mercy. And the problem with this idea of a personal relationship with God that people have taken away into this world today is it becomes this autonomous self that is all about me, that it's all about my individualism and how I have this relationship with God. It may be different than you, but I have it this special way. It almost is a Gnostic idea of me having a special knowledge or a special experience that suddenly gives me a special relationship with God. And this inner experience that maybe you don't have, but I do. And that's not biblical. See, this is really how the radical enthusiasts of the 16th century operated, and many of the secularists operate today as well. So here's the truth about knowing God personally. God loved, and God gave. We believe and we receive. God loved us so much that He sent His Son to save us. And if we believe in Him, we will spend eternity in a deep, personal relationship with God for all eternity, the way that it was meant and established to be, without sin affecting anything. And if we all trusted this simple and profound truth, it would change everything in our world. It would change our friendships. It would change our marriages. It would change our work relationships, our work ethic, our commitment, our finances, and everything. See, the entire reason that Jesus came to earth was so that everyone who trusts Him can know God. Because we know God through Jesus Christ and the words He gave us and the life He lived. So today, if you want to enjoy this fellowship with God, there are things you can do to enjoy it, but it doesn't establish it or make it greater. Use the sort of idea of growth, right? The first is you can go to God in prayer daily. You can also read God's Word daily or obey God moment by moment in your life as well. Witness for Christ by your life and your words and trust God in every detail of your life. And hand over control to the Holy Spirit that is alive in you. See, with all that said, all who trust in Christ Jesus are in relationship with Him. He is their head and their Savior. They are members of His church. But the problem with most of the relationship talk these days is that it establishes a relationship around piety and devotion, which is all about us. And the question is, when do you ever know if you've done enough? When do you even feel that you've actually accomplished enough to have that relationship with God? But God brings us into a fellowship and makes us His children by God-given faith in Jesus Christ. It's not about the work we do. It's about what God does for us. We live by the idea of by grace alone through faith alone. And we thank God that He doesn't work the way most of the world works. That I don't have to live a life trying desperately to make a connection with Him, with God. That Jesus is not some spirit whose existence is measured by the depth of my emotion. He's right here, exactly where He promises that He would be, exactly where He promises that He would meet us. In our joy and our contentment, in our illness, in our grief, in our brokenness, in the Word of God, in baptism, and in the Lord's Supper. It's in confession and absolution that we meet God as well. These are the faith-strengthening gifts that He gives to us. These are the gifts that He gives us so the Spirit works in us to create a fellowship with Him. And it's done without any worthiness or merit in me at all. See, it's not Martin Luther or the Lutheran Church that has saved me or saved you at all. It's actually not the singing of praises or prayers that we lift to the Lord at all either. It's not the things that we do in service to Him or trusting in Him or any of those things. That He who has called me saved me. The one who has called me to be His son, the one who has given everything for me on the cross, that is why I have fellowship with Him. And I know where I can find Him. I can find Him in His Word, in the Bible. I can find Him here in the fellowship of believers in His church. And I can find Him right here in the body and blood of Christ that we receive today. So, it matters little of what my relationship with God feels like, or whether it's fresh and exciting to me at all. It only counts that He sent His Son to atone for my sins and meets me still with enough faith for the journey. That's all I need to know that Jesus is here and that I have fellowship with Him. And that the Spirit is alive in me is knowing that I have faith in Jesus and what He has done. May that free you from the burdens of thinking that your personal relationship with Jesus is about anything that you do. That your relationship with Jesus is truly a fellowship with Him that He has established and that the Spirit keeps strong in you and will see it till the end. So let's pray. Lord, I confess that I cannot come to You by my own reason or strength. For left to my own, Lord, my tower will fall. Thank You for coming to Your people through Your Word and Your sacraments. That, Lord, You have, through those things, You accomplish Your will. Remind me to look to You and not to my own emotions as a source of grace and strength that I need to put my feet on the floor and to meet another day. But Lord, truly, it is in You that I have faith. It is in You that I have fellowship. And it is done not by me, but it is done by You. So Your grip on me is far tighter than my grip could ever be. So Lord, keep that strong today and lead me each and every day until Christ returns. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.